Radio Service, National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for October 2006. This is issue number 259, and I am Fred Vobey, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. My address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. The cost of a subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S. and Canadian members is $28. To Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that is mentioned, or simply log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using our PayPal credit card system. You can also sign up to edxn.com and get your DX Audio Service on your computer or iPod player in stereo. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with our PayPal credit card system, or contact Wayne Heinen, H-E-I-N-E-N, at 4131 South Andes Way, Aurora, Colorado, 80013-3831, if you want to pay by check. Well, let's check out Mr. Bill Hale. He's got a lot of neat stuff on the AM Switch, so here's Captain Hale.
Thanks, Fred, and welcome everyone to AM Switch for the DX Audio Service for October 2006. First of all, call letter changes. A new station on 670 in Essex Junction, Vermont, has asked for the calls of WVVT, so they should be on the air shortly. On 880, WCBW Highland, Illinois, has changed to WIJR. On 1040, KLVP in Tigard, Oregon, their new call is KXPD. On 1160, KMGS Highland Park, Texas, their new call is KVCE. 1260, WYDE Birmingham, Alabama, their new call WLGD. On 1320, WWWT Randolph, Vermont, they've changed to WTSJ. 1410 KTME Lompoc, California, their new call KINF. 1470 WKAP in Allentown, Pennsylvania, their new call WHYM. On 1480 in Neon, Kentucky, WEZC has changed to WVSG. And 1530 KSMM Shakopee, Minnesota, their new call KQSP. Now, I want to alert you to three call changes, which are supposed to take place in the middle of September. We haven't got any official word on these yet, but you might be listening for them by the time you get this tape. On 1320, WSRQ in Sarasota, Florida, WSDV is their new call. On 1450 and 1690 in the Chicago area, WVON and WRLL are supposed to trade calls the middle of September. So you might listen for WRLL on 1450 and WVON on 1690. No word on their formats, if they're just going to switch formats or not. So I wanted to make you aware of those changes. CP's on the air this month in Logan, Utah, 610 KVNU. They're on the air with 10,000 watts during the day, 1,000 watts at night, directional only at night. That's U2. 690 WELD, Fisher, West Virginia. Their construction permit for 3,000 watts during the day, 14 watts at night, and 500 watts during critical hours, on all non-directional, is now on the air. 790 KBET Winchester, Nevada, their construction permit for 1,000 watts during the day, 300 watts at night, U4. They're on the air from four new towers. That's U4, of course, is two patterns. 920 WGKA in Atlanta, Georgia, their construction permit for U1, 14,000 watts during the day, 49 watts at night, is now on. 980 WHSR, Pompano Beach, Florida, their CP for 5,000 watts during the day, 2,200 watts at night, U4, is now on the air. They have consolidated their day and night sites to the three-tower day site. The new night pattern throws most of the signal out into the Atlantic Ocean. 1100 WISS Berlin, Wisconsin is now on the air on 1100, moving from 1090. Their new facilities are 1,000 watts, daytime only, non-directional. 1180 WFYL, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. They're now on the air with 420 watts daytime only non-directional, moving from 1530 kilohertz at McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania. 1330 WEBY, Milton, Florida. They're now on the air with a big power boost during the day. They're 25,000 watts directional daytime, 79 watts at night non-directional. That antenna code is U5. 1350 WBLT in Bedford, Virginia. Their CP to increase their daytime power to become 5,000 daytime watts, 47 watts at night non-directional is now on. 1370 KWTL Grand Forks, North Dakota. They're now on the air with 1,000 watts during the day, 270 watts at night non-directional from a new 185-foot tower. 1460 WDOG, Barnwell, South Carolina. They're now on with 320 watts during the day, 45 watts at night non-directional from a 366-foot tower, moving from Allendale, South Carolina. So that's a new city of license for WDOG. 1480 WCIN, Cincinnati, Ohio. Construction permit for 4,500 watts during the day, 300 watts at night U4 from a new four-tower array, using three during the day and four towers at night. They're now on the air with those new facilities. 1530 WLIQ has made the move to Quincy, Illinois from Bowling Green, Missouri. Their new facilities are 1,400 watts during the day, 290 watts during critical hours, non-directional. 1550 KDFN, Donovan, Missouri. A previous report, we had them D1, 1,000 watts during the day and 1,000 watts during clinical hours that had been approved and was on the air. But for no reason at all, that CH designation has disappeared from the FCC's database, so changed their facilities to 1,000 watts daytime only, non-directional. 1580 KHGG Van Buren, Arkansas, their CP for 1,000 watts during the day, 49 watts at night, from a new 198-foot top-loaded tower, is on the air. 1580 WLIM, Patchogue, New York, CP was granted, and they're now on the air with 10,000 watts during the day, 500 watts at night, directional at night only, and that was a quick turnaround on their part, as well as the FCC's. 1580 CKDO Oshawa, Ontario is now on with U3, that's the same pattern day and night, 10,000 watts during the day, 10,000 watts at night. They moved from 1350. Turning our attention now to some actions which have taken place over the past month. Remember back in call changes, we reported a new station in Essex Junction, Vermont, WVVT on 670. Well, the CP has been granted for this new station with U7, 50,000 watts during the day, 300 watts at night, and 20,000 watts during critical hours from three new towers. Essex Junction is an eastern suburb of Burlington. The day and CH patterns go south while the night power is directed north-northeast. 720 KFIR, Sweet Home, Oregon. They've been granted 10,000 watts during the day and 184 watts at night. In Monticello, Maine, WREM, formerly on 710, has been granted to move to 780 kHz. They'll have 5,000 watts during the day and 60 watts at night, all non-directional. 950 WNZZ, Montgomery, Alabama, a CP has been granted for U1, 1,000 watts during the day and 45 watts at night. 1100, a new station in Albert Lea, Minnesota, has been granted CP, 850 watts during the day, 230 watts at night, U4, that's two patterns. Another frequency change this time along with a city of license change. KEOR 1110 in Atoka, Oklahoma has been granted a CP to move to 1120 kHz with 2,000 watts during the day, 2,000 watts during critical hours using two different patterns. They're moving to the transmitter site of KCFO 970 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and their change of the city of license to Catoosa. This move will make a number of other frequency and city of license application changes for moves in Oklahoma and North Texas possible. 1140 WRMQ, Goldenrod, Florida. They've changed their city of license from Orlando, and the new facilities are U2, 5,000 watts during the day and 1,500 watts at night. 1180 WPLX, Germantown, Tennessee. They've been granted U7, 5,000 watts during the day, 85 watts at night, 3,500 watts during critical hours. U7 is three different patterns from the former three-tower site of KQPN 730, and they've moved from 1170. So we've got a lot of switching action this month. 1260 KWNX Taylor, Texas. The CP has been granted to increase day and night power levels to become U4, 2,500 watts during the day, 400 watts at night, from a new five-tower site. KKAR 1290 in Omaha, Nebraska. A CP has been granted to increase the daytime power to become U4, 50,000 watts during the day, 5,000 watts at night. The new daytime pattern is directed primarily north-northeast with minor lobes to the southeast, southwest, and to the west. 1310 WJUS, Selma, Alabama. They're changing their city of license from Marion, Alabama. The new facilities are U1, 1,100 watts during the day, 16 watts at night, from their new 188-foot tower. On 1450, a new station in Ruidoso, New Mexico, had a CP for 1,000 watts day and night non-directional, but now they've been granted a slight power decrease at night, going down to 940 watts. So they're U1, 1,000 watts during the day, 940 at night. Another power reduction, 1490 WSGB, Sutton, West Virginia. The CP has been granted for 900 watts day and night non-directional, down from a kilowatt. 1510 CKOT, Tillandsburg, Ontario. The CRTC has granted CKOT, which is Canada's only remaining daytimer, to add an FM station on 107.3 MHz with 4,500 watts, simulcasting their signal during the day and providing nighttime service. CKOT's AM station will remain on the air. And 1590, a new station in Kearsarge, Pennsylvania, has been granted 500 watts during the day, 900 watts at night, U4 from three towers, using all three day and night. Both patterns are directed toward the north-northeast. Kearsarge is a south suburb of Erie. Some other items from around the AM band, 580 CKPR Thunder Bay, Ontario, has applied to move to 91.5 MHz with 100 kilowatts ERP, and their antenna will be at 308.7 meters. 630 CFCY Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, has now made the move to 95.1 MHz. 790 WPIC, Sharon, Pennsylvania. Their new tower is expected to be up very soon, replacing the wire antenna that has been on the air since April 2005. 850 WYLF, Penyan, New York, has been fined $11,000 for repeated violations concerning using powers in excess of the station's authorization during daytime, post-sunset, and nighttime hours, and failure to enclose the station's tower within an effective blocked fence or other enclosure. 970 WESO Southbridge, Massachusetts is operating at reduced power after a windstorm ripped through the area and toppled their tower. No word on their exact output or date of return to full power as U1, 1,000 watts during the day, 21 watts at night. Also on 970 CFXE in Edson, Alberta, they've applied to move to 94.3 MHz with 20,000 watts maximum ERP at 116.9 meters. On 980, a new station has been applied for in Lévis, Quebec. They want 50,000 watts daytime and nighttime, two different patterns. And finally, 1590 WQMA, Marks, Mississippi. The FCC has upheld a fine for $20,000 for failure to maintain operational emergency alert system equipment, operation with excessive power, and failure to discontinue operation at night, and failure to maintain the station's public inspection file. The station is listed as deleted in the FCC database, so even if they file for reinstatement, the fine will have to be paid before the FCC considers that action. Returning to the air this past month, WQYK 1010 Sefner, Florida, with the Music of Your Life format. Also back on WCST 1010 Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. WSTL 1220 Providence, Rhode Island has returned on September 9th with a contemporary Christian music format and their slogan of Shine 1220. Reported as being silent, WPMH 670 Claremont, Virginia. WTOT 980 Mariana, Florida. WCKW 1010 Garyville, Louisiana. KFFF 1260 Boone, Iowa, WHAP 1340 Hopewell, Virginia, KACE 1310 Birchtree, Missouri, and KUPA 1370 Pearl City, Hawaii. But one retailer in the United Kingdom is dropping analog radios from its online product offering. As iPod and MP3 players dominate the portable audio market, Dixon's, a consumer electronics e-tailer in the UK, is dropping analog radios, according to a marketing group that promotes Eureka 147 there. The group said that the decision follows growth in the sale of digital radios and expansion in the number and range of digital transmitters. The marketers claim digital radios are now outselling analogs by 30-1 at dixons.co.uk. Dixon's tax-free airport stores and stores in the Republic of Ireland will continue to stock analog radios. Well, I checked this website and found several digital radios ranging in price from about £30 to £500, and with the exchange rate at about $1.88 to the pound, well, you do the math. Well, my thanks go out to Sean Axelrod, Mark DiLorenzo, Dean McIntyre, Jerry Starr, and Radio World Online for tips used this month. That's time to sign off now for this month. It's time to head to Florida and check in with John Bowker, having just returned from this year's NRC convention, I'm sure with loads and loads of goodies. And he's also here to present this month's edition of the Travelogue, which, if memory serves correctly, we'll start hearing what it sounds like on 970. John, take it away.
Well, thank you once again, Bill Hale, and hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Travelogue. And Bill, we all missed you at Akron. Hope we can schedule things better for next year so maybe we can all get to meet you once again and enjoy being with you for a while. Well, we're going to start the 970 dial position today. This is another regional channel, just about like 960, except there are a lot more stations at 970 for some reason or other. There are a couple of biggies here. There's most all of them are 5,000 watts maximum. There's one in South Carolina, one in Florida, one in Alaska that go above that power. In fact, the most powerful is about 6 miles from where I'm sitting in Tampa, Florida. We'll get to that maybe next month. We'll see. And we're going to start as we always do, up in the northeast portion of the 48 states, this time in the state of Maine, to its largest city, Portland, as we begin the October 2006 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
In the morning and Don and Mike in the afternoon. 970 WCAN Portland. This is ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports.
I'm Dennis Buckman. This is SportsCenter.
Yeah, WZAN 5,000 watts is an all-news talk station. Now, that recording you just heard was made in 1999. We have another one from them, from another station in Portland at 970 on the dial. That goes back to 1981.
This is the CBS Radio Network for Southern Maine, WYNZ, Portland.
CBS News, I'm Dick Reeves.
Now, this next station in Rutland, Vermont, is no longer on the air. It started out at 1,000 on the dial with 1,000 watts, broadcasting from an old castle in Vermont, really a castle. But they wanted to carry the Yankees at night, and at 1,000 on the dial, they could only be a daytimer. And, of course, they were just a music station when there wasn't any sports going on. So they moved down to 970 and weren't on the air more than a couple of years. But here's how they sounded at 970.
Before the Yankees come to bat in the second inning, we'll pause for 5 seconds so that our stations can identify themselves here along the New York Yankees radio network.
This is Big Country Radio at 970 on your AM dial, WHWB, Rutland.
You know, it was kind of fun at WHWB because it was in this old castle. They actually let me read a commercial once for a jewelry store in Rutland. I just popped in, made a pest of myself, and they finally said, okay, go ahead. Okay, it's time to move down to Southbridge, Massachusetts, next in New England, and we'll see how they sounded in 1993.
WDSO. We'll be back in 5.
WDSO, Southbridge.
Good evening. 34 degrees, raining outside our studios. I'm George Menard, WESO News.
I was just listening to them recently, and I noticed their slogan is Spirit 970, the best country. Okay, we're going to leave New England at this point and go out to the western part of New York State to hear a station that built a fine reputation for itself in both music and news for the whole western part of New York State.
That is going to take us down to the 5:30 mark. Time to break for more news from Associated Press. We'll be back shortly thereafter. Once again, you're on WEBR in Buffalo.
AP Network News. I'm Jim Sargent. This is the award-winning news service on the Niagara frontier, serving Buffalo and Western New York. We're WEBR, Buffalo.
Good morning, I'm John Gill. These are some of the stories you'll hear in the coming hour on the news station.
And then in 1993 came the September 20th edition of DX News. A big surprise to many of us. WEBR was folding it up and changing not only from commercial to non-commercial, but changing from WEBR to a new set of call letters for the public broadcasting system.
Copies of Morning Edition are available. Call toll-free anytime, 1-888-NPR-NEWS.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.
It's 9 o'clock at 9:70 a.m., WNED, Buffalo.
Good morning. President Clinton has dinner this evening with the Chancellor of Germany, Helmut Kohl.
Well, very good. Now, this next station in Norwich, New York, there's a little story that goes along here because on the internet you can read about a notice of violation printed by the FCC against WCHN. It turns out they were 1,574 times over power when the FCC examiner came one evening to see if they were operating according to their day-night pattern regulations. Instead of operating at 34 watts, they were operating at something over 500 watts that night. Well, that was in 2003, and let's listen to them as they were back in 1984.
You're listening to American Country Countdown on WCHN Norwich.
Well, we hope they have a long and continued happy life in Norwich, New York. Now, you know, for 38 years, I lived within earshot of this next station in Hackensack, New Jersey, and I heard them go from one extreme to the other. They really had some raunchy programs at one time on this station.
Your Philly station, keeping your life into
And then back 10, 15 years ago, WWDJ took a swing to the right with the following result.
Coming up next, The Pat Boone Show. You're listening to WWDJ Hackensack, New York's Christian music and teaching station at 9:70 a.m.
Well, okay, we're going to head west now on the travelogue with our dial set at 9:70. We come to Bellefonte, Pennsylvania, and WBLF. They, this year, have the contract to carry all of the football games of the Nittany Lions. It's a news talk station these days. And here's how they sounded in 1993.
The news is next back at 10:35 with Geno Alma Mine from Radio 97, WBLF, Bellefonte. Now it's 10:30 on a Wednesday morning.
Now, they run 1,000 watts during the daytime and only 38 watts at night, but still they fill in the night games for the Nittany Lions. I don't know. Let's go west in Pennsylvania. Now we come to the Steel City of Pittsburgh. We go back to 1982.
WTKN, Pittsburgh.
Talk radio, WTKN, Pittsburgh.
Now, as you might have guessed, this station in Pittsburgh runs 5,000 watts, which at the time it was built was the full maximum power permitted. But they're running 5,000 watts both day and night in Pittsburgh, which is great. Now, by 1990, things had changed in Pittsburgh, even the call letters at 970.
WWSW, Pittsburgh.
ABC News, I'm Marty McNeely. More than 100 Americans and several hundred other foreigners left Baghdad on jetliners for home Saturday.
Oh boy, where have you heard that before, huh? That was recorded in 1990. Sometimes the news just never changes. Now, in 2002, Linda and I were back in town along with many of you, and this is what we heard at 970.
It's all at otherwhitemeat.com. Pork, the other white meat, brought to you by America's pork producers.
This is WBGG, Pittsburgh's Fox Sports Radio 970.
You into sports, my man?
A Clear Channel station. Now, a Fox Sports update.
Well, now, just to lighten things up on the travelogue a little bit, we're coming back to the Baltimore market. Just outside of Baltimore, the little town of Aberdeen has a 500-watt station day and night, and their slogan is the station with a million memories.
Coming up on 9 o'clock in Harford County, it's sunny and 83 at AM 97 WAMD.
WAMD, Aberdeen.
Okay, and as we continue south, we come to the Commonwealth of Virginia, and right in the middle of the state, well, now, actually west-central part of the state, not far from Stanton, Virginia, is the town of Waynesboro. And we have a couple of cuts from there. Let's go back first to 1992.
Country music 24 hours a day. You're in the big country, WAAV, Waynesboro, Stanton.
Millions of Americans will tune in tonight for the final presidential debate among President Bush, Bill Clinton, and Ross Perot.
And Mr. Clinton did very well that evening, if you recall. Very, very well. Well, let's see. In 2001, we were traveling up I-81 and picked up this new voice from Waynesboro.
WKDW Stanton, WINF Waynesboro, Augusta County's hometown stations.
Are you silver? Away!
Attention horse lovers and horse owners. Have you heard the expression, no foot, no horse?
Well, no, that's not a familiar phrase to me, but then, I'm not in horse country where I live either. And then just a year later, in 2002, we were back in that neck of the woods.
And we'll give you a free video that shows you how other families have had success with Frontline Phonics. Call 1-800-584-READ. 1-800-584-READ.
Glenn Beck is sponsored in part by Le Blue Ultra Pure Bottled Water, providing free home and office delivery. This is Shenandoah News Radio, WKCY AM 1300 Harrisonburg, WKCI AM 970 Waynesboro.
Network News, I'm Rita Foley.
Time to go down to the southern border of Virginia now, to the city of Danville, to hear a 1,000-watt daytimer at 9:70 a.m.
Hello, you're listening to Total Christian Radio, WVOV, in Danville.
She sure sounds like she's having fun. That's what I like about radio. Well, you know, that's probably a good place to leave us for this month, too. We'll start in North Carolina here in the November edition, and it's possible we will even make it far enough south to hear the 25,000-watt station at 970 on the dial, broadcasting from my backyard. But that's fine. We'll talk to you next month. Let's hear another story from Mark Durenberger.
National Radio Club.
Thanks again, John. Mark Durenberger for the DX Audio Service. We're in part two of a two-part series, but before we get there, I wanted to say that I'm sorry we missed you. We hope you made it to Akron, Ohio, and enjoyed this fall's great NRC convention. We started last month reading stations that were on the air in 1930 and where they moved as a result of the 1941 NARBA agreement, when frequencies were opened up to provide more clear channels for Mexico and especially Canada. Almost all of the dial above about 730 kilohertz, or kilocycles as it was known back then, moved one way or the other. And most of those stations that had been on the air for 5 to 10 years ended up moving to a new spot where they remain today. So let's get back to work. On 890 back then, you had WJAR in Providence, WKAQ in San Juan, Puerto Rico, WMMN in Fairmont, West Virginia. Time sharing, you had WMAZ and WGST, both in Atlanta, KGJF, there's a mouthful, Little Rock, Arkansas. And sharing time in Urbana, Illinois, Vermilion, South Dakota, and Shenandoah, Iowa, were WILL, KUSD, and KFNF, respectively. And so on. Time doesn't allow us to read the entire list of lower power stations, so we have to jump now to 970, where we'll find the stations that moved up 30 kilohertz to get up to 1,000. For example, WCFL, 970 KJR Seattle, Washington, would become COMO on 1,000. Most of the following moved up 40 kilocycles, as we know. In 1930, we had KDKA on 980, 50,000 watts at that time. 990, we had WBZ and WBZA. They were synchronized by that time, I believe, but I'm not sure. They had a range of power from 500 to 15,000 watts. They, of course, moved to 1030. At one time, they were sharing that frequency with a Western allocation, supposedly reserved for Albuquerque. As we know, when KOB ended up on 770, 1030 became available to eventually become KTWO in Casper, Wyoming. On 1000 in 1930, WHO and WOC in Des Moines both shared the frequency. You also had KFVD in Culver City, California. On 1010, you had stations as follows: WQAO, WPAP, WHN, does that sound familiar? And WRNY, all in New York, all at low power, all sharing time. WIS in Columbia, South Carolina, KGGF in Pitcher, Oklahoma, and a young station named KGW out of San Jose, California. On 1020, before the NARBA changes of 1941, we had WRAX in Philadelphia on at 1930 with about 250 watts. And KYW and KFKZ both shared time in Chicago, Illinois at 10,000 watts. They would move that to 1060, and as we know, KYW then eventually moved to Philadelphia. From here on up the dial, stations were moved on an individual basis to open up more clears, primarily for Canada and Mexico. For example, there's some information that what is now CKLW 800 was originally on 1030. Also on 1030, it was CFCF or CFCN, I'm not sure. Montreal, that was moved back to 1010. 1040 was WMAK in Buffalo, New York. Also on 1040 were the East Lansing operation, WKAR. And there was an interesting sharing of stations in Hot Springs, Arkansas and Dallas, Texas, 10,000 watts. KTHS moved to 1090, and KRLD eventually ended up at 1080. 1050, Dr. Brinkley's Goat Gland Operation, KFKB, Milford, Kansas. And on 1050, KNX in Hollywood, 50,000 watts at the time, moved, of course, to 1070. 1060, WBAL and WTIC, Baltimore, Maryland, and Hartford, Connecticut, they shared the channel. They were between 10 and 50,000 watts at the time. They, of course, both moved up the dial, WBAL to 1090 and WTIC to 1080. Whereas 1060 WJAG in Norfolk, Nebraska, went to 1110 from 1060, they eventually traded for 780, which was KFAB, so that KFAB could move to 1110. Got that all? Write it down or spin the tape back and check it out again. 1060 was KWJJ in Portland, Oregon. They moved to 1080. There were four stations on 1070 that moved to 1100. KWTAM in Cleveland was already at 50,000 watts. Carthage, Illinois would soon be off the air. They were WCAZ. WDZ Tuscola, Illinois was also on the air, and they were destined to go dark or move. And then there was KJBS in San Francisco, presumably today's KFAX. On 1080 in 1930, WBT in Charlotte, they were moved to 1110, and they were part of a protection deal where their network owner dealt away some coverage protection. We'll talk about that on a future band scan. On 1080, you had WCBD and WMBI, Zion and Chicago, Illinois. They would have both gone to 1110. We're presuming that this operation may have gone away as part of that swap in Nebraska, when KFAB picked up 1110 and with no one else on the dial. 1090, KMOX St. Louis, they were close to 50,000 watts at the time. They moved, of course, to 1120. The next group of stations moved up three notches. So 1100, WPG and WLWL in Atlantic City in New York, time-sharing, they went to 1130 to become the current Bloomberg operation, and KGDM in Stockton, California went to 1130. While 1110, WRVA in Richmond went to 1140, and KSOO in Sioux Falls also went to 1140. At least one station on 1120, WISM Milwaukee, ended up on 1130. There were others. But on 1120 in 1930, we had a WDEL in Wilmington, WDBO in Orlando, College Station in Houston, Texas. They were sharing WTAW and KTRH. Sound familiar? KFSG and KMIC in Los Angeles and Inglewood, California shared 1120. KRSC in Seattle, KFIO in Spokane. And then there were the Canadians, CHGC, CJOC, CJRX, and CFJC. There were three stations on 1130 that were destined for 1160 in the 1941 swap. The only one that survived was KSL. On 1140, Birmingham, Alabama, and Tulsa, Oklahoma shared time as WAPI and KVOO. This shared facility ended up, of course, as KVOO Tulsa, and WAPI went to its current home. 1150 had WHAM in Rochester, New York, the only station on the dial. They moved to 1180 to become a 1A clear. On 1160, we had two stations, WWVA and WOWO, Wheeling, West Virginia, and Fort Wayne. The West Virginia end of this shared operation moved up one click to 1170, and of course the WOWO call letters moved to Indiana on 1190. And then there was WCAU in Philadelphia at 10,000 watts. They were on 1170. They moved to 1210. And KTNT Muscatine, Iowa. On 1180, we had WDGY and WHDI sharing time in Minneapolis. That survived as WDGY on 1130. 1180 had KEX and KOB. They were shared between Portland, Oregon, and State College, New Mexico, with a power of about 20,000 watts. Became KEX on 1190, and we all know where the KOB call letters ended up. At one point, WINS, WINS, was also on this channel, and they, of course, ended up on 1010. There was 1190, WICC, Bridgeport, Connecticut, WOAI in San Antonio, the survivor. They were at 50,000 watts by this time. They ended up one notch up to 1200. With a couple of exceptions to fit Canadian and Mexican stations into the picture, the local and regional stations between 1200 and 1450 all moved up the dial by 30 kilocycles in 1941. Many or all of them remain at or close to these new dial locations. So as we near the top end of the dial, we come across those stations that moved to the last group of 1B channels in 1941. They included 1460 WJSV Mount Vernon Hills, Virginia, 10,000 watts. They became, of course, WTOP. And KSTP, St. Paul, Minnesota, at 10,000 watts in 1930, moved up to 1,500 as well. Nashville, Tennessee, had a timeshare, WTNT and WLAC. Of course, they moved to 1510 to be WLAC only. 1470's KGA in Spokane, Washington, moved to 1510. WKBW in Buffalo, New York, went to 1520. They were on 1480, as was KFJF, Oklahoma City, which became the famous KOMA. 1490, WORD, WJAZ, WCKY, and WCHI. Chicago, Illinois, Mount Prospect, Illinois, Covington, Kentucky, and Deerfield, Illinois, all sharing time on 1490. 1490 also had Westminster, California, 10,000 watts, KPWF. That was moved to 1530, and that was eventually called KFBK. And 1500 is where the broadcast band ended in 1930. There were others on the air above this, notably 1510 CFRC. They moved back to 1490. And there were some experimental stations, W1XBS on 1530, which became WBRY and eventually went dark. And there was W2XR that became WQXR and WQEW. They were moved to 1560 in 1941. Also on 1560 was W6XAI. It became KPMC and then KNZR in California. Both allocations occurred as the result of the 1941 NARBA. Well, the work done in 1941, for the most part, holds up today pretty well. There's an awful lot to all of this, and we don't claim this is the definitive list. Certainly, many stations found new opportunities as a result of the mandated changes, and they proposed their own facilities on better frequencies. That's why the overall report on the 1941 NARBA agreement was a guideline only. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. We spend our time here each month trying to focus on matters including the Clear Channel stations on what were once the 1A and 1B frequencies. The 1941 shift put things in order for a long time on these channels and expanded the band to 1600. But the days of the single station on a single frequency were numbered, and the dissolution of the true Clear Channels began in earnest in the 1960s. One interesting comparison to be made here. Where on the 1930s list we've been reading you, we had a terrific number of stations sharing time with different call letters. They all served pretty much the same regions. Once the clears were broken up, once again there were a lot of stations with different call letters on the same channel, but they were spread across the country, and they were all on the air at the same time. Well, we hope that's been enough info for you. I see Fred wielding the hook, and he's run out of pencil and paper, so we're out of here, and we'll see you in 30 days. Till then, good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark, and I really appreciate all those great articles that you're supplying us, and I know a lot of the members also enjoy hearing about the radio stations pre-NARBA and such. It's great information. Really appreciate it. Thanks again. I know that on our last edition, we talked about having John Bowker on with us, talking about the 2007 National Radio Club Convention. John's got some things he's got to do on this weekend when we're recording the DX Audio Service, so I thought that I would just wrap with you real quick about the 2007 National Radio Club Convention and possibly having you become a host. Now, before you go running down the hall with your arms flailing in the air, screaming, "No, no, no, not me," let me just say a few things here. I've done about three conventions, and I'm no worse for the wear, and I know a lot of DX Audio Service members have assisted or been the primary host in putting together a convention, and it's not that hard. In fact, you're not going to be left hanging out in the open by volunteering to do a convention. The hardest part, in my humble opinion, is just remembering the priorities, such as finding the hotel that has a decent room rate, making sure that that hotel has a room where we can park our keisters during the convention, picking up the pop and the chips just prior to the convention so we have something to munch on, and of course lining up a meal. John Bowker, Ernie Wesolowski, and myself would be glad to help you out in putting together some kind of list or some information just to kind of go through so you know when to do things and how to do things. So if you've even considered the possibility of doing a National Radio Club convention in your town, what you might want to do is drop a card or a letter to John Bowker, and you can just send it here to the DX Audio Service, 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805, and I'll pass it on to John. If you have any questions or maybe some concerns about doing a convention, you might want to put them in that letter, and we'll then talk with John and kind of find out some answers. But I think it'd be kind of neat to have a National Radio Club convention in a different spot next year. Please don't say you want to come to Lima again. That'd be four times, and I think people are going to get sick of coming to Lima. I'd like to personally see a convention, I'll say, up in Toledo area. There used to be a lot of DXers up in the Toledo area at one time. Or maybe, you know, even someplace to the east in Pennsylvania or New York State again. What about down in Tennessee? The only thing is I would caution people on is not going to, I'll say, Florida in August or July. I think it gets a little too warm down there for some folks. And, of course, we don't want to have a convention in Upper Michigan in December, do we? Now, that brings up another quick point that I'd like to make, and that is we do have some flexibility with the date. So if anyone has a suggestion as to possibly, say, doing a convention in Toledo on the second week of August or something like that, you might want to float that to us in a card or a letter, and we'll consider that. But if you've ever thought about doing a National Radio Club convention, now's the time to let us know, because we'd like to start planning for NRC Convention 2007 and start putting on a great show. Speaking of a great show, we need to flip the tape over to Side 2 and hear from Phil Wayne and Mark Marino as they profile the Chicago radio market. That and more is coming up on your DX Audio Service for October 2006.
It's wonderful, marvelous WLS in Chicago.